Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Once again, just beautiful time in the studio with Tara. I think sometimes it's more of a counseling session for me.
The deeper things go on in between the recordings.
The deep begets the deep. Yeah. The last 3 weeks we've been studying from the book of Esther, which is a beautiful story of God's sovereignty. Not one time does it say his name, God, but his footprint, handprint, breath is all over it.
Yeah, it's amazing what God does. I love it. And we've been looking at Esther and the impact and the change that has occurred. And we've talked about that the importance of being a person in the point of peace who is faithful. And then when it comes to a time when we have a point of recognition of good and evil, choosing to go the narrow road,
right?
When we have that point of decision to make, making sure that that decision, we make it now, we don't delay. Now what we're going to look at is the importance of the point of acknowledgement, literally acknowledging that I'm going to be a part of this. And this is this happens in Esther 4, verses 15 through 17, where Esther gives her response back to her uncle
Mordecai,
and he has told her, you know, who's to say you haven't been placed in the kingdom and the castle and the palace for such a time as this, and that if you don't do something, God will appoint somebody else to do it. So either stand up now and do it, girl.
Very clear.
Or get out of the way, and you know you're gone, and God will bring somebody else to deliver us. And at this point, she says, okay, go gather all the Jews and ask them to fast and pray. They don't name God. They don't say anything about who they're fasting and praying to. It's understood.
Right.
Okay. It is an understanding within the nation of Israel. If somebody fasted and prayed, it would be to God.
Okay.
And so they do this. And she says, then I will go to the king. And if I perish, I perish. Each of us, when it comes to the narrow road or the broad road, there is a point of acknowledgement where we have to say, I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Mm.
Acknowledging that if it means my demise, then praise the Lord.
That's right.
Less of me, more of him.
Yes.
And this is pivotal in a believer's life. This moment right here, the point of acknowledgement, is the place where we can grow and know in a way that we never have.
Mm.
It's also the place that we can stop our walk dead in the tracks. And so it's huge. The point of acknowledgement is like, okay, yes, Lord, or no, Lord. And I don't know, I guess about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was praying about this, and I thought, you know, God, what you have to understand, let me premise, Greg and I, when we go home, we have Alzheimer's on both sides of our family. My father-in-law's wife, Jerry, Greg's stepmom, she has Alzheimer's. She had early onset Alzheimer's. They're very young, mid-60s, and she's had it since she was like late 50s. And then when I go to my family, I have my grandma who has it. And I mean, we go into worlds that are non-worlds as far as the world's concerned, and in their hearts they don't even recognize us anymore. And thinking about our brain and all the gray matter and the folds within the brain, I was praying through this whole Alzheimer's thing, and then the issue of the point of acknowledgement and making the choices, the right choices, and you know, and really a person with Alzheimer's has been robbed of the freedom to make those choices because they no longer can make those synapses.
Right.
And I thought, you know, God, right down to even in my senility, I want you to have my brain.
Yes, please, Lord.
That literally every little nook and cranny, now I commit even my senility to you.
Mm.
That every aspect, so that no matter whether I'm in my mind or out of my mind, my mind is yours. And that's essentially what's happened, because as far as the world is concerned, Esther's out of her mind. She's going before the king, and anyone who goes before the king that's not been summoned is killed, unless the king finds favor and points his scepter at you. I mean, the world, oftentimes when we make that point of acknowledgement where we say the narrow road, the world is going to be the one to tell you you're an idiot.
Right.
Actually, It can even happen within the Christendom. I know I used a bad word. Sorry. Those aren't words we use.
It's okay.
And so, but it also happens even in the church when pastors and leaders and worship leaders and teachers stand up at the point of acknowledgement and say, for God and God alone, people will turn and walk away. And it happens when it comes to a lesson on teaching on evangelism. People say, you know, oh, well, it's okay. I don't have to be the person who goes and tells the stranger, or I don't have to be the person. I'll do it in my own timing and God will just bring it to me. But the reality is if somebody doesn't go in the command that we were told to go make disciples, they're not going to hear the word. And if I did not hear the word, I would not have known I had sinned. If I had not known I had sinned, I would not know I need a savior. And if I didn't know I need a savior, I wouldn't cry to him and say, save me. Therefore, I wouldn't have salvation. And then people die and go to hell. I mean, that is the reality of it. Each of us have to have that point of acknowledgement where we're willing to stand up against even those that are called in their hearts by the name of Christ and say, I'm going to do what will glorify God. I'm going to go in pursuit of holiness. I'm going to walk the road that is holy, even when it hurts. And Esther said, I'm going to do it to death. If it's my death, then I will choose death over not being the person that's willing to stand up. And by God's grace in this particular situation, he moved in favor of Esther. And when he saw her, he pointed the scepter at her and says, what can I do for you? And granted her the wish to come to his banquet. It's at that peace falls when we do the will of God. Peace completely falls. There's like, the way I can't explain it, even though you know it's going to be hard, even though it's going to be difficult, the peace is there. And I had a situation recently, and a person said, well, let me ask you this. So tell me, how do we grow our faith? And it was almost like it was a challenge of a question. It was an honest question. It was a question seeking, because the question really wanted to learn. But it was also more of a question to teach within the room of others that were in the room. And it was a great question. And if you think about it, it's the same question the disciples asked Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
How increase our faith? Increase our faith. They asked him two things. Teach me how to pray. And they said, how to increase our faith. I mean,
oh, I love that.
Those two are two things that we need to be asking. How can I pray? And how can I grow in my faith? And the thing that happens with faith, with every faith step we take, it is a catapult to take another step in faith. But when I have made the choice to take a step backwards, I found that it's harder to take the next step forward. Right. It's almost as if when I go backwards, I end up going back like 6 or 8 or 9 steps back. But when I take a step of faith forward, it's like I shoot miles ahead. I mean, it's just the craziest thing how the step of faith increases the step of faith. And she takes that step. And that catapults her into God's plan and his sovereignty and how he was going to deliver the nation, how he was going to reveal himself in such an intimate way they can't help but want to be a part of what God is doing. And I love, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Larry Crabb, he has the book, 66 Names of God, the 66 books of the Bible. 66 names. No.
Of God. You said 66 the 60, names.
No, it's the 66 love letters.
Oh.
I'm
okay.
Sorry. Getting all my names. I got totally title confused here.
Thank you for the change.
This is really important. See, he had me speak that. If you don't have this book, you need to go get this book. This book, what he does is he takes every book of the Bible and the 66 love letters, and he asks the hard questions that every person that we ask when we read the Bible, whether we're a believer or unbeliever. This is a perfect book for us to read. And he dialogues with God. So it's like him talking to God through hard questions that he has for each book. And then God counters and talks back to him about why he wrote that book. And
so he does it through each book.
each book in the Bible. And they're really short. They're like 2 or 3 pages for each book. And you're only supposed to read 1 chapter a day. And so you complete the 66 letters in 66 days. I think it is the most powerful read I've had in a long time. I am weeping literally through this book. And on some of them, I'm going back and rereading. I think it's one of those that, like, my utmost for his highest, I will read forever.
Yeah.
That's how profound this is. And this man is been in the ministry counseling for over 40 years. And he's been through a lot of suffering. And so he knows what he's talking about as a counselor, you know. And it's amazing how profound what he is writing. It's like, wow. And he said that in the book of Esther, that when he's dialoguing as God, and that God wants us to grasp that importance of holiness. But it's all about holiness, all about holiness. I read it about, I don't know, like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I'm hearing that recurring theme of holiness. And here we have Esther. She's stepping up. She's increasing her faith. And that faith catapults to the moment of the point of action. Do you remember how we said silence last week is not action? A believer cannot say, I have faith, if they're not willing to act on it, because it's not faith.
That's James.
That's exactly right.
Because he said the spirit without works is dead.
Actions reveal our character.
It's not works needing. But if you believe something, then the fruit will be shown.
Completely. And Sabrina should know, because she's right now reading James over and over. She's teaching it.
Everything
in
you're
study.
Saying, I feel like, is James. It's right. Crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is, because James is a summation of the entire Bible. Mm-hmm. I mean, really and truly, it is the basic principles. My husband likes
in 5 chapters.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you can read it in 30 minutes. It's incredible. And her point of acknowledgement moves her into the action, which then takes her to the point where there is a time of delay. For whatever reason, she has the banquet, and she doesn't say anything. It's not time yet. She has this banquet, and you have to understand, when she asked the king and Haman to come to a banquet, most people might ask, why would they bother having, why did she ask to have a banquet? Why didn't she just state it right there when he put the scepter at her and granted her favor? He said, I'll give you, you know, up to half of my kingdom. And yet she didn't ask her question there. There's a point of delay that occurs because God is still orchestrating his plan. And I don't know about you guys, but waiting's not easy.
Oh, no.
It's sometimes I want to force an issue. And you live to regret it when you force an issue. And here we have this point of delay. And in this time of the point of delay, we have God incidences that happen. And I love a God incidence. It's when you know how God's hand is working. It's not a coincidence. So she has the banquet, and the king has dined well with his bride of choice, and he's lying in bed, and he can't sleep. So much for sleep. And so he gets up, he gets his guy, says, go get the scroll. Let's read the diary journals of our history. That'll put me to sleep, right? I mean, think about it. Why would anybody want to get up and read their kingdom journals in the middle of the night? I just thought that was hilarious. But, you know, maybe that was his version of counting sheep. Honestly, that would be something that would put you to sleep. You know, somebody journaling what happened in the day of the kingdom. Well, by God incidents, the guy pulled the scroll that told about Mordecai saving the king from 2 men that wanted to kill him. And he says, well, what did we do to him? Oh, did we bless him? Did we honor him? No, nothing happened. And so in this delay, providence is revealed. Mm-hmm. God's sovereignty. God is in control. And, you know, and you could think Mordecai could have whined and complained way back when he helped the king and nothing was done to honor him when he told about the plot to kill him. Mm-hmm. But he didn't. A major length of time of delay occurred from the time that happened until the time when the king realizes what happened. And God in his providence had that delay happen, because oftentimes the delay needs to occur so other things can be made known. The evil of Haman was not at its full exposure. Mm-hmm. And so if the honor of Mordecai would have happened at the time of Mordecai doing what he did, Haman's evilness would not have been made known.
Wow.
It's just perfect.
Isn't that amazing? Timing. And so we think sometimes it needs to happen now, but honestly, I would rather have the full measure of the evil revealed so it can be completely annihilated than to have something happen before the full measure happens and the measure be allowed to increase.
It's always taken care of.
Always.
And that's so for me with the neighbor that I've been praying for. God's just saying, it's a time of delay, but it's okay. It will happen.
You gotta be faithful. And he reveals how he is present. Now, I want you to hear this because this is huge. I read this in the Mattoon Treasuries, and I didn't see this in any other commentary in my word search software and some of what I do on the Blue Letter Bible. But when Esther says, "Let the king and Haman come," even though the book of Esther nowhere says God, this is so cool. God's providence was in her words. Let the king and Haman come. In Hebrew, the letters of the beginning of the words spells out Yahweh.
Wow. What verse is this?
It's when she is doing the request to him and asking him in chapter 5 when she says, "Let the king and Haman come." It is there that she says, it spells out Yahweh in Hebrew. I mean, it's amazing. And so Esther, even though she does not have Yahweh present, you know, in word, so God's name is not spoken, we don't see it very clearly spoken, her words become a breath of invitation of God over the circumstances.
And in the Jewish faith, I have a friend, and she says they don't even write the name of God. It's sacred. You know how people in Christian homes have crosses and different stuff. They don't do anything like that. It's very,
it's holy.
Right. It's almost blaspheming to them. And so I wonder if that has anything to do with them not even having the name of God in this book.
You know, in other scrolls and the other books, I mean, if you go to the Pentateuch, which is the first 5 books of the Bible, Yahweh's name is mentioned. What they did in the writing, what they would do is that literally they would skip, like, with the name of God. If you see a Jewish rabbi, a lot of times I have Nate, he's a rabbi, messianic rabbi here in Omaha. When he sends his emails out with updates, he types God, G/D, mm-hmm. because he won't write God's name. And so it would be the same kind of concept.
Okay. That's exactly what my friend told me.
Because it is holy. And the book of Esther is about the holiness. And that brings them to the point of blessing. And what happens in the point of blessing is the revelation of who Haman is the full measure is made known. And that's when God comes in and deliverance happens. And Esther is honored and Mordecai is honored.
So beautiful. So
though there is a delay, we have to remember that. And the key that we have to fall back on, and we only have a few seconds left, is that we need to come to a point of remembrance. They have the Feast of Purim to remember what happened with Esther and Mordecai. We also need to make sure we remember and talk about the things of God and what he's done. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.